That night was there was so much hardcore intense drinking that I actually developed a stomach ulcer from that night.
You longtime listeners of Geek Beer might notice that our sound quality this time is vastly improved.
Yes,
because we have
two microphones.
All right. So, we have a fun little podcast today. So,
hey, hold on.
Okay, sorry.
I'm Tom.
Oh, fuck. Hi, everybody. This is Geek Beer.
What up, yo?
I'm Ethan.
Wait, what was our name again?
Joe.
Hi, I'm Steve.
Damn it.
I keep changing my name for legal purposes.
All right.
Anyway, yeah, Tom and Ethan, Geek Beer Podcast, blah, blah, blah.
We are podcasting this week about lagers.
That's right.
Because this month's session
is
on lagers. Yeah, the session.
Yeah.
So the session is like a cross-blog beer tasting.
Ooh.
Where at the beginning of a month, in this case, like February 8th or something,
yeah,
some beer blogger posts and says, here's the next session. And in this case, he said, it's going to be on lagers. It ends on the 5th. And on the 5th, all these bloggers post entries about crap that they've done.
Yeah.
You get the idea.
Something, anyway.
So we're podcasting for the session, which, as far as I know, has never been done before.
Oh my god, they should give us like some kind of medal, some kind of session medal.
How about we just get to drink beer?
That works too.
All right.
So excellent. Yeah, this actually sort of also dovetails in nicely with something else I've been thinking about doing for a while, and Ethan kept on saying, well, why don't we do it as a podcast? And I'd say no. He said, why don't we do it as a podcast? I'd say, shut up. Why don't we do it as a podcast? And I'd stab him with something, and then he'd have to go to the ER, and that was always kind of uncomfortable, because it was like two or three times a week.
Well, yeah, it was just that one week where it was two or three times, but
still. And so I'd been thinking about doing a series on recession beers.
Yes.
You know, something that I thought might be oddly topical given, you know, the current recession we're in.
We're in a recession?
What?
Okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
We are?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's true.
Do a recession beer podcast.
That's such a good idea.
Oh, but wait, we're already doing the session podcast. And it's essentially on recession beers. Lagers.
It's the recession session. Podcast?
Oh, up high.
Snap.
Yeah. I love it.
All right.
So I've been thinking about doing one on sort of, you know, lower brow beers, you know, a way to save some money, but try to find something that was also quality as well.
Yeah.
And then they were like, hey, we're going to do the lagers on the thing.
The session,
like,
session number 25.
And Ethan wanted to do a podcast on it. I was like, well, we might as well combine the two. So
yeah.
We're here now. We've got a couple of
questionable shitty beers.
Okay, I'll go with really shitty, really shitty beers. And we're going to sample them for you tonight. And so we're starting off tonight with an old standby for college drinkers around the world.
Yep.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Pabst, I can't say it even.
That's
Pabst
right.
Blue Ribbon.
And so there's really only one way to drink a PBR, Ethan.
You're going to shotgun it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right, so.
I'm going to snap mine and pour it into a glass.
Are you? Whatever. That's the girly way to do it.
Holy shit, there's beer everywhere. Well
that
played,
was,
sir. Well played. Your eyes are watering.
I know. No, that's beer. That's beer coming
out
of my
eyes.
Woo! I think there's actually more beer on my sweatshirt and on my pants than I got in my mouth. Even my keys. But, yeah. So, that's really, to me, the only way to drink a PBR.
Well, I just poured it into a glass.
That's
kind of...
Wait, are you sure that's not water? Oh, wait, no, that's beer. Because it's foamy on the top.
It is foaming on the top.
And it's a little bit yellow like piss. Well, from my own tasting notes, I would say that it was a little bit fizzy. And also left a lingering taste of horrible bitterness in my mouth.
It does indeed really look like fizzy piss. But the head is more substantial than I would have expected. I don't think I've ever poured Pabst into a glass before. But the head is more substantial than
typically
I would have expected.
You don't pour Pabst into a glass.
So I drink a lot of Perrier because it's free at work.
That's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Metrosexual.
Yeah,
view.
That's me. Hi,
yep.
I live in Seattle. Our city's slogan is Metro Natural. This is one step up, sideways.
It's a lateral movement.
From Perrier. It actually tastes very similar. I think if I closed my eyes in a blind taste test, I'm not sure I could tell the difference.
Well, I know that you like to often compare Budweiser Select to Perrier.
I drink enough Perrier that, I mean, let's just say this. The carbonation in the beer is a significant flavor of the beer. I mean, the beer would taste very different if you let it flatten or if you drank it before it was carbonated.
All right. You're almost done there, buddy? I'm about to finish off PBR number 2 while you're still struggling to bottom out with PBR 1.
I'm trying to decide how to describe how this tastes. It's a light, malty flavor. There's no hops at all. The aftertaste is sort of citrusy and a little sweet. But of course, everything is really light. I mean, the flavors are all really light. It really doesn't taste like much.
It doesn't have a lot of taste. And this is something we actually commented on our last podcast as well, or I did anyway, which is that most of these lagers just don't have any complexity of flavor. They hit your mouth the same way they go down, versus like the Beast that we had, where literally it probably went through 3 to 4 stages from the point it got in your mouth to the, even after you swallowed, it was still affecting you in various ways.
Yeah, the Beast was pretty impressive.
That was an amazing beer. Seriously, guys who make the Beast, I fucking want to have your babies.
Avery Brewery.
Avery Brewing.
So Avery Brewery started in 1993.
Yeah.
In 1994, they took home a gold medal in the stout competition, the dry stout competition at the Great American Beer Festival.
Wow.
1 year after these started.
These guys are seriously who I want to be when I grow up.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So the topic of this week's session is
A
Pint O' Plain. It's actually called Love Lager, but
the
idea is a pint of plain. So if you had to say when would you drink PBR willingly? Like when is a good time for PBR? Is it always a good time for PBR?
I think PBR is not always a good time for PBR. PBR is if you're in a dive bar somewhere and you want to get pitchers of beer for like $6 and you don't care what you're drinking, PBR is great.
Yeah.
If it's a hot day outside, you're just hanging out, in our case, on the roof, and maybe
it's
2 o'clock
in the afternoon, and you don't
want
to start in on the heavy stuff yet.
Yeah.
Or let's say you start at 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then by 5, you've got sort of the drunk sick.
Hit your cap, essentially.
It's a good maintenance beer. Exactly.
It's a good maintenance beer.
I agree.
So, and I've been drinking a lot of Budweiser recently.
Oh yeah.
I think I like this better than Budweiser.
Yeah. How does it compare price wise? Because let's
be
honest,
it's actually a little bit cheaper. But yeah, I think, you know, there it was.
That's
right
better,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't get belches like that with good beer, by
the
way.
No, you don't.
They aren't carbonated enough. But yeah, I think in terms of you know, sort of commercial mass-produced beer, it's a solid, it's right in the middle of the road, maybe a little bit above in terms of quality. And
in terms of, like, American commercial lagers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I might replace Budweiser with PBR.
Well, it's certainly, I don't know, I haven't drunk as much Budweiser recently as you, but Budweiser to me has I would describe it as a sour flavor, maybe a sour apple. But anyway, Budweiser has sort of a flavor to it that I find a little bit odd. I mean, I understand that long time Budweiser drinkers probably don't even notice it, but
yeah.
PBR has literally nothing offensive to it, which is sort of the upside of not being very complicated.
It's sort of like if I had to, like, make beer, like somebody said to me, make beer, I would probably end up making PBR. It's like somebody said, make a circle, you know? I'd just make the most basic circle imaginable. I wouldn't, like, shade it and texture it and, like, go all crazy. I would just draw a circle on a piece of paper. This is like the circle on a piece of paper in terms of beer.
For a homebrewer, actually, lagers can be really difficult to make because they have to ferment usually between 45 and 55 degrees, which if you don't live in, you know, Minnesota, can be sort of difficult. Beyond that, the incredibly light color of commercial lagers is really difficult to achieve in a homebrew because the way that you boil causes, you know, the Maillard reaction, which causes darkening
right,
sugars
and
whatnot. I mean, there's lots of consideration that goes into making a beer this light. So one of the things that I've been noticing in the last several weeks of, you know, beer research and whatnot is that brewers and beer lovers love to hate the mass market brews. But sort of under the covers, they're sort of going, how the fuck do they do that? Anyway.
So there we are. That's our PBR. We're going to move on now to something that is near and dear to both Ethan and Mai's heart. For no other reason than it's a beer that got started here locally. No longer, I think at this point, it's now brewed in California. Rainier Beer. And so it's actually now owned by the same company that makes PBR. But yeah, so PBR and Rainier are actually owned by the same company now. But they're brewed in separate locations. So
this is still made with Yakima Valley hops.
Yeah, it's still made with Yakima Valley hops. It's the same recipe. It's basically a contract brew at this point. Again, you're drinking out of a glass. I'm curious to see if there's any difference at all in terms of color.
Oh, it's lighter. I'm going to keep half of this in the can so that I can drink it out of the can because
like
I want that experience.
Like a real man.
I think this is clearer than the PBR.
Oh, yeah.
Does that seem accurate to you?
It's really clear in terms of color. I mean, it's still yellow.
Barely.
Still got that piss yellow color to it. But
it really is piss colored. Who decided that piss yellow was a good color for beer?
Yeah, it's like you think you could at least add something in there to make it a different color at this point.
It does not smell good. I suppose since it's mostly drunk out of cans, they don't have to worry about whether or not it smells good.
Oh, man.
Wow, that goes down a lot cleaner than the PBR.
It really does. There's almost nothing left in my mouth after I swallowed. There's some bubbles that didn't make it down my throat, but
frankly, it tastes about like it smells. Not very good. It's sort of got a funk to it, almost.
I wouldn't go that far. I think this is definitely a beer that you should be drinking cold.
It's less malty than the PBR. Overall, I think even lighter flavored. I would not have guessed that was possible.
I'm really not getting almost anything off of this.
I mean, I'm taking giant swigs of this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not... I can't taste shit.
It goes down really clean, I guess. All said and done. I mean, again, it's probably about on the same level as the PBR, at least in terms of general drinkability.
So, Rainier has actually won a bunch of awards.
Really?
Yeah, a little scary, I thought.
Wait, hold on. This has won awards?
Yeah, not just
awards. Wait, are you sure? Because they also make an ale.
No. This beer has won awards in the Best American Light Lager competition at the Great American Beer Festival. 1987, 1990, 1998, 2000. It actually won gold medals in the latter three of those years.
Wow.
It's better taking a giant swig out of the can.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah.
I think that was your mistake, drinking out of the glass.
Really? I think the smell of it, I think you're right, that the smell of it out of the glass makes it worse.
There you go.
This is a beer, oh my god, this is a beer meant to be drunk out of the can.
There it is. Out of a tall boy.
That's quite impressive. All right, so what do we got next?
I decided to go for a fine imported lager. This is from Jicama.
This is actually quite a favorite around here. I don't know how it is in the rest of the country, but Red Stripe Jamaican Lager is a real hit in the Seattle area.
It's a popular beer among the hipsters.
Partially because I think they sell it in 24-ounce bottles. Is that right?
In these giant bottles.
I think they're 24.
Yeah, not cans, but these giant fucking bottles.
Yeah.
And also because it comes in these weird nipple bottles.
So this pours a little darker yellow.
Definitely darker.
Maybe a little browner, I would say.
Not much head to it.
And yeah, very little head.
As
giant
to the other
bubbles.
Beers, the other beer's head. This is a Jamaican beer.
First Red Stripe was brewed in Surrey Brewery in 1928 as an ale.
Ah, Kingston, Jamaica. Imported by Diageo, which is a subsidiary of Guinness, USA. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try it.
It's got almost no aroma.
Ooh, this is a lot of flavor.
Oh, yeah. It's
coffee. I'm getting toffee. I'm getting toffee flavor.
I was just about to say, it's sort of a sweet coffee, sort of around that, somewhere in that neck of the woods.
Yeah.
No hops. No bitterness. It's got a lingering aftertaste I would describe as malty.
A malty sweet aftertaste to it, yeah. Definitely, by far,
really,
has the most flavor of any of the beers we've had so far tonight.
I can't smell hardly anything off of that, can you? Like...
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of sort of like that hard water smell. Really not a lot of aroma coming off of this, but in terms of flavor.
It's definitely got more flavor than the PBR or the Rainier.
Yeah. It's definitely kicking them in the butt.
I don't think I've ever been in a position to appreciate Red Stripe before, but this flavor is definitely at least head, if not head and shoulders, above both of the other beers we've had tonight.
It's very true. It's definitely a one-hit wonder in terms of its flavor. Right. I suppose the other ones were just trying not to be offensive. A little extra notch, I think I would really enjoy this. As it is right now, I've got no problems with it. I think it's a decent lager. It's definitely also got less carbonation going.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the differences here between this and the sort of more craft brews that we've been trying the last few weeks, is that these are really heavily carbonated.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
It's like soda-type carbonation.
That must be something that the American taste expects at this point.
I'm liking the Red Stripe. I'm actually enjoying this, as opposed to saying like, well, if I didn't have anything else, I'd drink it. I might, now that I've actually sort of come at it from another angle, because I've had Red Stripe before in the past.
Yeah, but it's always been like, oh, I'm at a bar.
Yeah.
And Red Stripe's like, available.
They have it in a 24-ounce bottle. That sounds awesome. I'm already drunk. Whatever. 24-ounce bottle. Woo!
Yeah.
But, you know, I might actually come back to this again.
Yeah, I have to agree.
The downside, of course, with Red Stripe is that it is more expensive.
Right? Per six-pack?
Yeah, per six-pack. Yeah, okay. Let's finish off this Red Stripe, and then I have a special treat for you.
No way.
Yes, I have actually a beer that is a lager.
Yeah?
That was not made by a large commercial brewery.
Wait, what?
It's true.
Like a local lager?
I do. I have a local lager. It was brewed here in this state by a small-time brewery.
I'm giddy.
You should be. I'm actually going to break out a glass for this one. I am not going to drink out of the bottle.
Whoa.
I know.
All right, so what do you got for me, man?
I didn't want you to feel like tonight was a complete waste of your time and all. So I went out and I actually thought that at least for this cast, usually we try to get some things that are interesting and unique.
Yep.
And so I thought I'd try to sort of fulfill that while it's still maintaining the insipid spirit of the evening.
Sure.
Which I'm totally behind. I don't want the poor guy who came up with this idea to think that I don't think it's a good idea.
We love the idea.
Oh, I fucking love the idea. You heard me shotgun a beer at the beginning of this, right? I love this idea. This is great.
Have what the next guy is having.
But I wanted to do something that I felt Ethan would also enjoy. Because I know this is not really traditionally your cup of tea, these type of beers.
Or glass of beer.
Or glass of beer, yes. So I went out and I found this. It's the Dutch Girl Lager from Skagit River Brewery. They're right here local Mount Vernon. So I'm going to go ahead and crack this open. They don't really have a lot of taglines or shit that they write all over the bottle, which is what you see maybe usually from a lot of smaller breweries. I got a giant bottle of this stuff. I thought we'd give it a try. And a nice way to cap off the evening with something a little bit more local.
It's very... I'm touched. This is thoughtful of you.
I know. I try to think of you sometimes when I do these things. The head on this, by the way, looks... At least on mine. I don't know about yours. Yours actually is kind of died out, but mine definitely has a little bit more staying power. It looks a little bit more creamy almost.
Oh, yeah.
This smells a lot cleaner, and I'm getting maybe a little bit more of a hop aroma off of this.
Yeah, I have to say.
Which I'm going to have to say I did not get any hop aroma off of anything from earlier in the evening.
That's definitely true.
And it's not strong, but I'm getting just a nice little, almost a kiss of hop scent.
That's actually really good.
Oh, man.
Wow, yeah.
Wow, this almost tastes like an IPA, by the way, in comparison to the beers that we're drinking.
Yeah.
I feel like all of a sudden, like, we jumped in the deep end of the IPA pool. At the same time, you can definitely taste where it's coming from, from something like the PBR or the Rainier. Not so much, I'd say, the Red Stripe.
Yeah, and they've made it remarkably light. This is pretty clear. I wouldn't say as clear as, like, the Rainier. But
no,
it's,
no. Nowhere near as clear as the Rainier.
I can definitely read through it.
Not the piss water. This is more along the lines of apple juice.
Yep.
Again, by far, it's the most
flavorful.
Flavorful.
I don't know. After fifth or sixth sip now, it's like the hop flavor is a little overwhelming.
It's a little too strong, I think, for the style. But if I'm looking for something that's going to be light on the palate... And relatively inoffensive all around, like the hot summer day beer after mowing the lawn and picking up the kids up from their t-ball practice. None of these are things that I do.
Yeah, if you're picking kids up from t-ball practice,
it's a felony. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see here for a moment. The Beertown American Style Lager. So this beer might fit into the Beertown guidelines under American Style Premium Lager.
Ah.
In which case, the bitterness is slightly more prevalent. Hop aroma and flavor is low to negligible. They're sort of on the far end of the hop flavor aroma spectrum here. Well, should we get on to beer news?
Yeah, let's do beer news. You got beer news?
Beer news. I got a little bit.
It's time for geek beer news.
The big news this week was the Oregon beer tax.
Heard about this. So people are like up in arms. Are like, sign petitions. Oh, stop them. It's like 1,004% or some nonsense.
1,900%. So Oregon wants to raise their beer taxes by $50 a barrel, and it would make Oregon beer taxes the highest in the country. Why does that matter?
Why does that matter?
Because Oregon's one of the biggest craft brewers in the country.
That is true.
The assumption is that consumers would feel the price pressure, and they wouldn't buy Oregon beers as much, and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, people are pissed about this beer tax thing, and I understand why they are. I mean, you don't want a fairly major industry in Oregon going bankrupt over this beer tax, but if the worst I have to do for this recession is pay more for my craft beer from Oregon, that's fucking awesome. I don't want to get into the fucking recession, but the government had some choices to make here, and one of the choices is raise tax on alcohol. Well, okay.
Sin taxes are always an easy one to bust up, you know?
Yeah, it's easy to say, oh, I don't want to pay tax for my hookers. But, you know, maybe that's what you have to do.
Maybe you have to pay an extra 20%.
So the Oregon beer tax, meh. There's a Michigan brewing company. They are going to brew a celebrity beer.
Ooh, who's the celebrity?
Kid Rock. Kid Rock's beer.
Oh, what are they? Is the idea to make, you know, Budweiser 2, Coors Light 2?
Maybe if you make PBR,
yeah,
with a Kid Rock label, it sells better. That's what these people are betting on.
I get.
Deschutes Brewery.
Deschutes Brewery is Deschutes currently.
Brewing,
they're doing a. They're releasing beer, a beer called the Hophenge. Yeah, the Hophenge Deschutes Brewery is.
And they had originally claimed it as a 95 IBU.
95 IBU beer, but then
they had it tested
the lab. And it did. And turns out that it's not 95% IBU.
Not quite.
It turns out it's actually more like 85% IBU. Something like that.
And I'm a dickhead.
Oh, he didn't fall for it.
It turns out that for high IBU beer, high IBU brews, it's really hard to figure out how many IBUs you actually have.
Yeah.
Ray Daniels has a great, great section on this in Designing Great Beers. I know I keep pimping this book, but
it's a great book.
It's fucking awesome.
It is a great book.
He has a section in there about how we taste bitterness and how the difference between like 20 and 25 IBU is fairly significant, but the difference between 50 and 55 IBU, really, meh.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Exactly.
Right? Which might it also might explain some of the problem that we had with the Dogfish 90 and the Dogfish 120, because they claim an IBU on their label that's probably not lab verified.
I did not taste an IBU difference between the 90 and the 120.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
In terms of bitterness. Like, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't there.
I bet there's some sort of, you know, it's probably some sort of logarithmic curve where you sort of reach some sort of plateau. So from last week, we have a couple of items of listener feedback.
We have listeners.
These are actually questions that came up during the previous podcast that I researched and I wanted to make good on. How to cellar a barley wine?
Oh, that was me.
Yeah. All right. So Stone actually responded to me on Twitter. And
what did they have to say?
To cellar their particular barley wine.
Oh, so this is not true across the board.
I would wager this is probably true across the board.
Oh.
They said cellar at 55 degrees in a dark place for basically as long as you want. That's beer news.
That's it?
And that's listener feedback?
By listeners, you mean you and me.
So...
Thanks, Eric!